listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 15th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
As always, so glad to have you. And thank you to all those that have taken the time to join us in the live chat. We always appreciate you. We always love seeing you and we love your contributions. We also thank those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to have a bit of an open discussion. I know a couple of things that we're going to touch on. But Dr. Vicki, I think you had some thoughts on our special guest last week, Dr. Zach Frame, and we love to have him. It's a fantastic discussion.
I found it a great discussion. And just on the record, I spent some time with Zach this week on Video Messenger, and he did a reading for me, Michael, and a one-year kind of, you know, look at the annual look at this year, and he was spot on, and covered the bases, and so I was able to give him some feedback and how that presented into my life. I was really impressed. So I want to thank Zach very much for that. So, you know, people can get a hold of Zach and you can book a reading. And you can find him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see he's actually with us tonight. Hey,
yeah,
Zach.
Yeah, glad to have you. You can do a search for Zach Frame on Facebook and reach out to him if you're interested. And
yeah, maybe Zach could put his contact in the chat there. But I think it's Zachariah Zach Frame on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Is how you can find it.
And, you know, he is part of our online community on Facebook as well. And Dr. Vicki, the name of that again, escapes me in this moment of brain deadness. Our Facebook? Our Facebook group.
You mean the One Planet Thank community?
Thank you, gee. That was killing me for a minute there, just on the tip of my tip of my tongue. But so I mean, Zach he's in that. So if you're part of our One Planet community, you can find him through that as well.
And Zach just put in the chat, he's the Optimist Universe.
There we go.
Optimist Universe. Like I say, I was really happy with the reading he did for me. And good job, Zach. And, you know, Zach works from home. Little bit of extra money here and there doesn't hurt anybody. So, you know, it's I'm just trying to help our friends.
And absolutely. And, you know, I think I might have talked about this last week. I'm pretty sure I did. I've gotten a reading before and I found it very interesting, insightful, you know, enjoyable. I enjoyed the whole thing and I'm looking forward to getting another one here soon. So just a shout out on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a...
I'll be booking again at the end of the year for next year, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, it's very accurate. I've had other readings, and sometimes it's difficult for me to follow or, you know, figure out, but Zach was pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And he's such a nice guy.
He's the best.
I am just such a fan. So I'm being his cheerleader right now. I see Dr. Jerry's going to be in touch with you there, Zach, so that's good. But we were talking before the program, and we were just chattering and thinking, what is the actual definition of sentient?
Well, I think the biggest question that, you know, is up for debate, is it sentient or sentient? And it just depends on what era of Star Trek you're watching.
Well, it's actually in the dictionary, S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T. So I'm assuming that's sentient.
Yeah, that's the modern pronunciation.
Sentient.
Sentient is the dictionary pronunciation. When I click on the button, I don't think you can hear this, but listeners can.
Sentient.
Anyway, you'll have to go back to the archive, Dr. Vicky. It comes over my speaker, so it goes off to the broadcast.
Sentient. But, all right, then.
So, of course. So we were talking. I'm sorry. Again, back to the main important aspect, which is pronunciation. In the modern Star Trek TV shows and films, they've said sentient, so it's changing. Language changes all the time. Yeah. But, yeah, the definition really surprised me, and I'm glad that you thought to ask that. Did you have it pulled up? You want to read it, or would you like me to?
Well, the short of it. It's capable of sensing or feeling, conscious of or responsive to the sensations of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling sentient beings. There is a lake, I think it's out of Australia, that has now been deemed that it is sentient, and people can't mess with the lake, with that body of water. And I found that really fascinating that, of course, the indigenous people there believe that it is alive and has its own, you know, energy about it. And so it went through all the proper channels and now has, you know, that it's been deemed as sentient.
Okie dokie.
Which?
I'm skeptical. I mean, is it the lake, the water itself, or is there algae in there that they're applying this to? Because I was kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek talking about plants earlier, but I feel like plants would hold more awareness than a body of water.
Well, in indigenous or root cultures, water is sacred. So if you think about the sacredness of water, and it does transform its energies all the time, and it's considered to have a life force.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
You know, that water has that life force. And of course we change the compositions of water, you know, through our filtration systems and so on. But the ocean or lakes and so on.
Lots of bacteria.
And the streams and the waterfalls and, you know, especially through the Rocky Mountains, all that beautiful, you know, water coming down. So you'll find that all root cultures believe that water is sacred.
Well, I believe it's sacred.
Therefore. So if you kind of say a prayer to your water as you're drinking it, it changes the energy for you and is healthier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, how we're all processing because energy all intermingles. You know, we're all one part of another.
I definitely see that. Life sprung from water. It is essential to our existence, essential to the creation of oxygen and things like that. So I can see it's sacred.
Yeah. Well, Audra just wrote, thank you for this, Audra. She said it's the Whanganui River, which flows across the North Island, has been granted rights of personhood. So, it's from Ecuador to New Zealand. So I had the general area on the planet, but so it's around New Zealand. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
that's the. I think it's talking about different bodies of water from the nation of Ecuador to New Zealand.
Well, Dr. Mike says can't live without it.
Exactly.
That's true.
And it is. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind, though, and this is what I was thinking about earlier with the definition, I was thinking about. To be self-aware, is that really the mark of an intelligent being? I mean, because I was thinking about dogs, as I often do, And dogs are aware of themselves. They know their own scent as separate from the rest of the pack. They know their place in the pack as an individual. I mean, are they self-aware? I think so. Are they an intelligent being? I mean, they might talk to me a lot.
Well, in fact, Michael, I found something on that. Scientific research, cultural beliefs, and philosophical arguments have contributed to a deeper understanding of dog psychology, emotions, and cognitive abilities. These advances have further solidified the position of dogs as sentient beings that deserve respect, ethical treatment, and protection.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sold. I've always kind of thought that. Yeah. And then the other question that comes to mind is, does an entity, a creature, an animal, a plant, does it have to be sentient to be respected, to have rights of, you know, a lack of cruelty, of being able to live its existence as it should, things like that? And I think the answer to that is, you know, no, it doesn't have to be. I think that sentient life has a higher, perhaps, threshold of, you know, respect and things that must be given, but I think that
Well, we all know now that trees talk to each other. There has to be some kind of an awareness for that to occur through the root systems. You know, a mother tree will feed the young ones through the root system before she feeds herself. That, there's scientific evidence to that in, you know, protecting the, you know, the basic ecology. And, I mean, grass, it screams when it's cut. You know, that smell is actually the grass reacting. So, I mean, is it sentient? I mean, if there is a response, some kind of response, is there, albeit small, some kind of sense going on there?
And I think
self-aware, I don't know.
I think so often, you know, the word sentience has been associated solely with intelligent life, as you would think of it as a human being. And I think that there is something to be said, perhaps, for an element of instinct or, you know, perhaps primary existence with plant life and things like that. They're kind of just living a very elemental existence. But it's also impossible to know. We don't have that perspective. You know, bees are insects. You know, how much could they possibly think, feel, or anything like that? But they also like to play with little tiny balls. They like to roll them around and pass them and, you know, just they love them. So it's impossible to say. I think it's important. I think it's reflective. I was going to say a moment ago how true the old saying is. We're judged by how we treat the least amongst us. How a person treats something that has no power over them is very indicative of who they are. And I think that's, you know, it's true in how you treat anything. How you treat insects, plants, if you cause chaos and pain just to cause chaos and pain, I think that's reflective of something.
Audra just wrote, she just read about birds chirping early in the morning, actually wakes up the leaves in the trees and helps start the processing, sunlight. Interesting.
It is.
You know, I was out cutting the grass.
So you were killing grass and listening to the screams. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I know. And lo and behold, you know, there's a few vole mounds, you know. And, whoa, I hadn't seen this before here. There's a vole on the surface of the grass. And I went, whoa, I guess I disturbed him. And I watched him, and he's trying to hide even in the shorter grass now, right? So I left him alone. I said, hey, you have a right to be here. And I did part of the grass, got distracted, went out to finish. Lo and behold, he's still there. I thought, well, you've got a few holes around here, bud. I don't know why you haven't found it, but he's probably trying to make a new one. So, again, I didn't disturb him. Part of me is, I don't want voles in the yard. But how could I bug this guy?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had a war with a vole back in the day, and when he was in my garden, that really choked me up, eating little nibbles off the carrots. But my dog finally got it. That was back in the day. Well, that's nature taking its course. But I had tried to trap that sucker for so long. But, you know, I mean, I was just kind of mesmerized by this vole crawling around on its belly trying to hide. And I thought, huh, I don't know why you're out in daylight, but okay.
Yeah, you know, I realized I do not know the difference between a vole and a mole. I still don't know. I could tell them apart, but I looked it up. Voles are rodents, and they're herbivores. And moles are not rodents, and they are carnivores. They eat insects, grubs, worms, and the like. I was going to say, I know my dogs have dug up a mole once or twice. Or a vole. I don't know. One of the two oles.
You can tell by their noses, I think, too. You know, a little bit of a body shape and the nose different.
I believe it.
Definitely a vole.
I believe it.
You know, and again, it's just all part of nature. He was aware.
It was a mole. My dogs dug up moles. I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah, Audra just said, voles are tiny, moles are big. That's true. That's also. But it could have been a tiny mole.
Yeah, you know, the size of a rat, I guess.
Yeah. I thought, just watching him just trying to hide and thinking of the awareness there of his surroundings and that instinct to, you know, try to, you know, escape. But he didn't go far. It's like, no, I'll just stay really still and play dead. And then he'd move a little bit. And I don't know. I just, I found it interesting. So we're talking about sentience and, you know, what is that? I think that everything has a life force.
I agree.
I think when we look at it as humans and we're subjective and we speak a language and we articulate and think if they don't know English that they can't be aware.
Yeah.
But they have their own language.
I mean, they have their existence and it's impossible for us to know their perspective. I will admit that it's impossible for us to know. You know, I'm a bit more skeptical on the intelligence, meaning the ability to sit and think about your predicament of a plant as opposed to an animal, even a base insect.
Yeah.
But I would also say that, you know, often I think every living thing deserves a minimum of, you know, respect and awareness. You know, you don't burn down a whole forest. You don't cause that kind of pain and chaos. But I do think once you start with that baseline, the more intelligence and awareness a creature has, I think the more rights it has. I think that intelligence allows you to suffer more greatly.
Well, then we shouldn't eat octopus.
I would agree. And, you know, there have been times where I abstain from pork and the like because they're too intelligent.
Well, I have to inject here. Dr. Mike has been very clear. He's our science guy. Remember, he's our retired scientist. So he said, sorry, birds have no effect on the photosynthesis process. Thank you for that, Dr. Mike. Hmm? See, we have really this vast array of people in our club.
We do it then. And diversity of thought and perspective is important to get to, you know, a well-rounded answer or, you know, taking away different perspectives. But
so Dr. Zach has asked, what's the difference between sentience and instinct?
I think it's, everything has instinct. Even a sentient creature has instinct. Like human beings, we're animals that are very advanced, but we have our instinct. And Google says, conversing to your definition of sentience, instinct being an innate, typically fixed pattern of behavior in animals in response to stimuli. And I think sentience is the awareness of the world around you, the ability to perceive and interpret the things that you see, if I'm remembering the textbook definition that you said.
Well, fight or flight is generally the rule of instinct when it comes to fear. Humans, the difference with humans also, as my understanding goes, and please correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, is we also have this freeze that... You know, we're trying to process and we freeze. We don't run and we don't fight. We're frozen.
Well, look at deer that get caught in the headlights or a possum that plays dead or any kind of creature. Snakes, they also play dead. There's a lot of things that freeze up when they're afraid and it's a instinctual response. But I think instinct is also why do humans build families? Why do we congregate? Why do we form cities and civilizations? It's all instinct. That is all being part of the human animal. You know, there are choices we make, you know, what do we do with our free time, the hobbies we make, the moral choices we make in life. But there's the programming, you know, we're, you know, chemical robots. We have programming just like any AI. I may make increasingly making the argument. And, you know, why do we want families? Why do we want to spend time with one another? Because we're social creatures, because that's our instinct. That's the type of animal we are.
Well, I have to also inject here that Dr. Zoran has brought up, sorry, Michael, I'm trying to keep up with the chat.
It's going fast.
For those in the archives, please try to join us some Wednesday night. It's a lot of fun. He's reminding us all about the experiments with polygraphs and stuff on plants and reactions to music and so on. And, you know, that's... anybody can find that on YouTube. Fascinating experiments done on plant reactions to energy. So it's a good one. Dr. Mike is saying, if we as humans are so smart, why can't we fix
it? I chuckled when I read that. Yeah.
You know, and that had me chuckle. Yeah. So that's why I say, people, we have a lot of fun here if you're in the archives.
Wendy with another good point. Plants love classical music. They love it when people sing to them. There's, you know, there's undeniable evidence that plants and living things react to energy of a sort.
You know, I had a whole bunch of houseplants, and two summers ago I put them out on the deck. And I, you know, I'm changing dirt and I'm giving them all some love, watering them up. And I thought, oh, you can stay out here, have some sunshine. They were so happy. Came back 2 days later and they're full of bugs. These earwigs make me mental. So, I mean, it was toast, right? Because I can't even risk for those not to have eggs and bring them in the house. So my last one is what's it called, Christmas cactus thing. I have one. And so I just said, I'm kind of done with houseplants. And so now I have this Christmas cactus, and every now and again I forget about it until they walk by and I can hear it yell at me, hello, we need water.
Yeah, and I go, my fern in the corner with its one leaf that's still green and trying to grow is really pissed at me. I feel like, you know, when plants come to my home, it's like a horror movie of just, like, you know, saw-like neglect and, you know, sadness. But,
you know, again, you get that feel, and it's not just because I lost some of the discipline about going around and watering plants because I kind of lost them. And I just, right now, I don't have the inclination to go get more plants. So I'm getting into the years of low maintenance.
Oh, man, I think I beat you there. Geez.
I'm down to one cat and one cat.
Well, I got you to beat on that. I am horrible with plants, and I have been for a long time. But I will tell you this. I do sing to the dogs and cats, and they seem to like it.
Yeah, of course they do. Get them to sing back.
Sometimes they do, Mira especially. But
you know, and I'm convinced, and I mean, I seriously am convinced, my daughter who lives here and her family, they got a dog just a few years ago. And I had been in their yard when they brought the dog home and introducing to the kids. And I was just standing back, letting the family have their moment. And as soon as that dog saw me, ran over to me and lost her mind. And I knew instantly that that was my old dog, Stoney. I knew it instantly. Like, we, at that moment, bonded and knew each other. And I said, oh, I'm so happy to see you, Stoney. Of course, her name is Molly. And anytime I go over there, she loses her mind. The crying, the squealing, and we're so happy. I can't say hi to anybody until I have my moment with Molly. And that's the whole thing. And so she acts like him. She has all the same tendencies, loves snow. If they're shoveling, jumps up and tries to bite the snow. Love jump, it, like all these traits that Stoney had. Now, Stoney was, in my view, a reincarnation of a dog Striker that I'd had years before. And how I came upon that, I was teaching life skills to a lot of street kids at the time. And one of my students was, you know, volunteering at the SPCA. I went to check on her, see how she's doing. She said, oh my God, these puppies came in. You have to see them. So I went in and there's 10 Sharpe cross puppies. Oh my God, they were so cute. And they're all in a pile sleeping. One got up and walked over to the door and whined at me. And I went, What? No, I'm not getting a dog today. Like, I have no intention of getting a dog. But I went in and went, okay, I think I just got suckered. There's something about this dog. So I did. Went and got the paperwork done, came back. That dog jumped out, as soon as I opened the door, jumped out and laid on my feet. And I said, okay, all right then. And I knew that that was my late dog Striker. A lot of the same tendencies, all the, same personality traits. It was crazy. So I totally believe in that.
You know, it is an interesting thought. I grew up with a dog, Milo. He was a mix. Got him at the shelter, and he was as a puppy. I remember when I was a kid, I must have been 8. We went to the shelter, and they let the puppy, two of them out, Milo and his brother. And Milo came over to me immediately and just was tugging on my pants and just, wanting to play with me and just really, we bonded immediately. And we were very close for the next, 15 years. And, I often wonder about that. And when I'm being more poetic and thinking about life, I wonder if I'll see that spirit again. You know, I've often thought that my dog, Charlie, that I got, he's got a lot of similar habits and ways about him that Milo had, but I don't know. I just don't know. But also at the same time, as my next dog that I was really close with, Toby, sweet souls, both of them, but he didn't have the mannerisms or the style that Milo had, so I knew that was a fresh one, a soul, if you want to call it that. And I don't think that denigrates that relationship at all either, so I kind of try to keep it. Try not to force it, Let's put it that way. But I don't know.
I'm going to change gears here again and say Dr. Mike has been really gracious to write in the chat, and I want to read this. There was a study a long time ago where a person walked into a room with two plants. He then dug up and destroyed one of the plants. They then monitored the remaining plant and had several different individuals walk into the room. When the person that destroyed the plant walked into the room, the remaining plant was monitored and reacted really strongly. And it's like that plant knew who killed his buddy. I had forgotten about that one, too. It's a very famous study. So thank you for that, Dr. Mike. I appreciate you doing that. Writing it in there.
I think there has to be a measure of awareness when you look at the evolutionary adaptations that many plants have taken to defend themselves. And I've always, since I've learned a bit more about it, I've always looked at evolution as not just a random process of, genetics and mutations, but also of behavior and intent. You've talked about genetic memory. I know that there's DNA information, instinct, if you will, that gets passed on. Everything that the person has been through, has been aware of, kind of goes into the next generation. And, behaviors. When they did the experiment with the gray foxes in Siberia, I've talked about it a few times. If you haven't heard it, 60, 70 years ago now, in the Soviet Union, researchers had captured many wild gray foxes. The friendliest of them, they would, mate those and continue on and on and on, finding the friendliest of the group that were, friendliest, would approach humans, that kind of thing. And over time, even though their DNA had not changed, they were still just gray foxes, they began to take, their physical attributes changed because they were kinder, they were more dog-like, and their skulls began to appear more dog-like. And I think it was indicative that our behaviors influence, I think, that trajectory a lot. And when you think about consciousness, sentience, things like that with plants, I think it is interesting.
Oh, it's fascinating. Again, I want to say thank you to everybody, for your conversations in the chat. That's great. It helps Michael and I, too, to, have all this other interaction. Mm-hmm.
It makes it interesting for everybody listening, too.
Yeah, we're going to get on with pulling some cards here right away. So And now, for the sake of those in the archives and those who are unfamiliar, Michael selects an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I pull a tarot card as a backup, like, ooh, what's going on? Tell a story.
Yeah, I like it. So we're going to give everybody a minute to let us know in chat if they would like a card drawn. And, you know, it's always interesting when we have kind of off-the-cuff discussions. Never quite know which direction we're going to go in, and they're kind of open-ended and just, I love the pattern of them, you know, kind of free will and spirits.
Michael, you and I do not run out of things to talk about.
It's a good thing.
That's one thing. We've been doing this a long time.
Oh, we have, haven't we? And, and hey, we were able to burn enough time to get some names in the chat, so mission accomplished there too, hey?
Perfect.
All right, I think we have Dr. Kevin up next, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I see that.
So I have for you, Dr. Kevin, number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
And I got the Six of Hearts. Usually that the Six of Hearts to me is usually about family, community. And I think in this case, it's okay to be different. You know, invoking the counselor within is if there's a situation or things going on, it's just look within yourself and just be you, Edward. Like, sometimes, I don't know, this is the feeling I get with it. Sometimes fewer words is better. I know that with my own family and grown children and grandchildren, and I think we're up there together, is, you know, still being ourselves, injecting our little bit. But, you know, not too much because it's, you know, we're not running the show like they are. And that's kind of what I'm feeling here. So it's the counselor within in some kind of family matter or domestic matter, maybe within your small community of, you know, really close friends. So you just got to be you and know, you know, the right thing and know when to disagree with somebody when they're talking stuff that you know is not true, and just say, well, that's not my experience, and let it go. Gee, I hope that makes sense, because that's kind of wild.
All right. Dr. Jerry, for you, I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives deep within the feeling of all life, while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
All right, the Hanged Man. Oh, Jerry, that's big. So anytime that comes up, I'm a broken record because, oh, Wendy said you had that card in March, in the middle of March, so it's a repeater for you. Hanged Man. It's giving something up to gain more. And sometimes we have to change our mind. Sometimes we have to change our opinion, give up a belief. And it's like the story of Odin hanging on the tree of Yggdrasil. You know, he wants to know the secrets of Mimir, you know, the great mother. And she says, well, you have to give up an eye. And so he did. He sacrificed an eye to be able to see the world differently. And it's so we don't take that literal. We take it, you know, that's a metaphor. So it's surrendering something of us to expand our consciousness, to expand our awareness. And it can be something so simple about, yeah, I don't think I believe in that anymore. and suddenly there's space for more ideas, and you move on and keep going forward. That's a really powerful message of, you know, being grateful, and you are, we know that, and shifting your mind into new things, and it's exciting. I think you're on a new ride, Jerry. I think life is getting breathed into you in a new way. That's exciting. That's my feel here.
I like it. And Wendy, our card keeper, pointed out that Dr. Jerry had gotten that inner oracle card on March 13th. Not terribly long ago.
All right. Yeah. So we have Zoran next.
All right. Zoran, I have wild card number four, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Wendy has said you haven't had that card before in the chat there, Zoran. So to back it up, I got the Seven of Diamonds, so the Seven of Pentacles. You get a trust in the process. The Seven of Diamonds is about harvest. It's like starting to reap the benefits of all the hard work. And in this case, the unknowable, you're maybe not certain or feeling your way through it, but you really just have to trust that everything's going to work out and in your favor in ways you hadn't anticipated. I want to remind you too that we only ever dream as big as our conditioning. You know, we don't necessarily dream bigger than our own reality. And other things can start popping into our reality to expand it. So I don't know why I'm inclined to want to say that to you, but this is a really positive kind of affirmation for you. Keep going, Sarah.
I like it.
Keep going.
All right. Ronaldo, glad to have you with us again. And for you, Ronaldo, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Oh, Ronaldo, I pulled up the Queen of Hearts, so that Queen of Cups, and the first thing that comes to me is, and of course we don't know this about you, but I'm assuming you may be married or have a significant other, is getting to know each other at a deeper level. It's like there's shifts of connecting in new ways. You know, that divine energy is an evolutionary process of that's all I can say is feeling safer at a new, deeper level. And when we get to that deeper level, it's this trust and a connection, and it's very spiritual. You know, it's not emotional, it's not mental, it's not physical, it's spiritual. And it's a very difficult thing to describe or put into words when you have that. And I want to say that there's something shifting there, and it's really cool. I love that.
Love the message. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Edward. Always happy to see you. And I have number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe, meaning don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
I got the World. Edward, your life is also changing. More opportunities, more connections, especially relationships. And maybe the friendships have, you've noticed them to go smaller in your circle, meaning fewer people, but the connections are greater. The connections are stronger. And I'm seeing little opportunities in there. I'm going to say this too, maybe a little bit of entrepreneurship. and perhaps helping someone in a matter of that. So it's a real positive affirmation for you too that, look, I can say also, I know a lot of people. My circle is small. And these folks who are small, it's just really tight, you know, and knowing each other and that trust. And sometimes that's really rare. And I've come to appreciate that so much more. Those kinds of friendships are not common. And that's what you've got going on here, Edward, is that feeling of safety and comfort. That's good.
I like it. All right.
Audra.
For you, I have number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, or what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you can give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Audra, I got judgment. That's an announcement. That's the way I have always seen that symbol, is kind of announcing yourself. Now, I'm also going to say, I get this feeling that you got a new job. So hopefully you'll, you know, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. But I feel like what this is, you're not afraid to be you anymore. Now, again, tempering situationally, you know, what you need to share with others. But you know, that standing up for yourself, being you, and adding that Audra spin on things is what makes you Audra. And that's why people would want you in their circle. So staying true to yourself, that esteem, that validation, you know, that judgment not being negative, it's just that you're pretty clear. Now, Wendy's also said that in the chat that you got esteem and validation back in February. So that's awesome.
Good stuff.
You know, thanks to Dr. Edward, what I'd said to him, he was just thinking about that yesterday, you know, about relationships and the world.
So, it's nice awesome. When things connect, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you for that. Yeah, I love it so.
All right.
All right, we have our card keeper, Wendy.
All right. And Wendy, I know that you love patterns. I've seen a wee bit of one here. Audra got number 2. She pulled that on 221. And we've gone from 2 to 20 for you, which is deliberate intent.
Ah.
The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It does require effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And release with patience.
Ooh, you're a bit of a force to be reckoned with right now, Wendy. I got the Queen of Spades. So that Queen of Swords, oh, she knows what she wants. She's not shy about it either.
Well, that's good.
She's bold. She's assertive. She gets the energy moving. She's of action. So that deliberate intent, you know, I get this feeling that you've made some pretty clear decisions for yourself, Wendy, or in the process of that, and it's just the way it's going to be. It's like a force to be reckoned with, but in a really quiet way. You're not going to compromise. You're not going to meet it halfway. No, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to be. and that's in that deliberate intent. You're putting that energy out and saying, I'm pretty clear now. There's no wishy-washy, no second-guessing. That's it. I'm going to make this happen. And I'm tapping my finger on the table. My kids always said when I point my finger at them and or I tap the table, that's mark my words. So she says, no, thanks, Wendy. She said, it sounds about right. That's good. Well, thanks for the feedback, everybody. That's
it is.
Fun.
You know,
that's awesome.
You guys make this this broadcast what it is. You know, it's this back and forth. It's the community. I love you guys. It's just good stuff all around.
So speaking of community, you know, please make sure you go onto One Planet Community on Facebook. And I know we don't post very much, but, you know, there's occasionally some posts made, and it's good. It would certainly be good to, you know, get a little more activity there. Yeah. So
and in the long, long ago, many people will remember that we even had a broadcast Facebook group that I would occasionally even put stuff in, so... I think I'm getting mojo back, so maybe we'll start that going again, too, and try to get some more activity on that, just for topics and exchanging ideas about what we can talk about, if you want to come on, things like that. But, community is what it's all about. And, you know...
It is. So, if I can inject, Audrey said she hasn't been hired yet, but she did attend a job fair and signed up for certain opportunities. And that can help her get – no, I feel really good about this. Audrey, hear me clear. You're going to get something almost immediately. I feel it in my bones. Don't worry. Just keep doing what you're doing. Be yourself. Somebody wants you, and it's going to be good. So that's why I'm just having to say that, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I love it. Let's keep that positive energy going. Let's make it happen, right? And
yeah, for sure.
You know – It's those things in life. It's that willingness to keep pushing through. It's that perseverance that really makes success in a lot of ways. Talent is part of it, absolutely, but it is perseverance and it is the willingness to stick it out and to keep pushing and keep going for those goals. So a lot of encouragement coming in. I love hearing that those good vibes, Dr. Mickey.
Well, you know, we do that for each other, and if I didn't feel it, I wouldn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, you might have to wait, you know, in certain ways. And it's going to happen, Audra. I feel like you're on top of this. So, you know, intuition is, and I don't always follow it myself, folks, because I'm human too. I got it for other people, but not necessarily for myself in my own subjectivity. But if I get the feel, then I follow the feel. It's when I do, you know, part-time job, when I do have to go to work, I sit here and I know I'm going to be early, but the feel says, go now. So I go now. Inevitably, it's safe driving and I get a parking space. So I don't question that. I just go with that feel. I had a friend visiting last week. And I was going to drive her back to the airport with an hour early. And I looked at her and I said, I feel we should go now. Are you okay with that? She says, well, I don't mind being early. I said, I got to go with the feel. So whether it's something in traffic, something on the road, I don't know. But I go with the feel. So just trust your own process. You know, try not to be late. Late. Makes me nuts.
You're talking about me, aren't you?
But,
oh, God, this is about me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm habitually 1 to 5 minutes late. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair enough. But people who are 15 to 30 minutes late makes me mental. So, because it's disrespectful in my world. But nonetheless, it's go with the feel of what you know, that sensation that you get of – that's helping you direct your life. It's not just instinct of, oh, I think I have to get on the other side of the street because it's over here. You know, a friend of mine and I went for a walk not long ago and, you know, a few street people out. I saw somebody way down at the end of this trail and I looked at her and I said, I don't think we're supposed to go there. She said, no, I don't either. We turned around and went back the other way because it's a feel. We've seen a lot of street people down there, never felt anything, but you got to trust it. So it's that learning about yourself, no matter what situation you are in life, you know, it's about peeling away those layers to know the difference between what things am I afraid of, you know, that guide me and limit me versus what my feel is, you know, of what's good. And not all opportunities are to be said yes to. sometimes the opportunities to say, you know, somebody said, oh, you know, like Audra, I'm offering you this job, and you ask a few questions. Oh, I don't feel this is for me. You know, sometimes the opportunity is to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Go by your feet.
Good advice. That's some deep stuff. You know, you should do like a weekly kind of podcast or broadcast or internet show or something like that. You got to get this stuff out there.
Yeah.
But,
it's fun. Again, Michael, our time goes by so
It does at that. It does at that. But it's because it's so enjoyable. Because, you know, we have such a good time talking with one another. You know, I feel when we go live, when we go on air and we, you know, interact with our chat community, I feel like we're just continuing the conversation that we're having for the 15, 20 minutes ahead of time. You know, it's just a continuation of that back and forth. You know, I enjoy talking with you. I enjoy talking with our folks in chat.
Yeah.
And just, you know, some folks, you know, that have been frequent, you know, listeners and frequently in chat, you know, you take time off and we totally get it. Life gets busy. I just want you to know that, you know, we do think about you from time to time, man. You know, you are missed.
We do.
So if you're listening to this, hope to see you back, because there's several folks out there that, you know, people come and go, and that's just life. But we miss your contributions. That's all.
Wendy said, y'all need a 3-hour program like the radio morning shows. They got to pay us for that, Wendy.
You get some of that advertising money.
That's right. Well, again, my final words are, don't let them push you around out there, folks.
Eternally just good words.
Be you. Yeah, be you.
I love that. Yeah, a little tweak on it, but can't beat that. So, again, thankful for all of you. Can't wait to see you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.